Best friend, sister, girlfriend, it's your girlfriend next door, Andrea, and boy, do I have a treat for you guys. I mean, we are talking friendship over 40. This is a very interesting topic, something that is very dear and close to my heart because I am currently experiencing that as we speak. I'm the fun girl, the fabulous girl, and I have another one here. Her name is Miranda Allen. Please pronounce your last name so I do not mess that up.
Chenault.
Chenault. There we go, girl.
Hey, girl. So,
hey, girl. I wanted you to take the time and introduce yourself so people will have a little bit of information about you.
Well, my name is Miranda Chenault. I am a licensed counselor. I am a karma coach. I have my own broadcast. It's called I'm Bougie Podcast. You can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. I host a show called Her Story where we talk about, have women come on and talk about like their journey, like from a place of where they have overcome the odds. They have a testimony. They have overcome different ups and downs in their life. And so they have now become successful. They now have become women who are powerful, women who are doing their own thing, women who are doing some great things in the world. And I love for them to share their story. And I also have a segment called Motivational Monday where I motivate you with you know, just different topics that may enhance your life, empower you, inspire you, and encourage you. So I'm super excited to be here with you on tonight, girlfriend, and talking about friendships over 40. This is going to be awesome. So I'm excited.
Girl, we're going to dive right into the madness, okay? First off, tell me a little bit about your experience leading up to 40. I know, if you don't mind me sharing, you are a mother of how many children?
I have 3 children. 2 of them are adult children. So okay. I am over 40.
You are over 40. You're a divorcee, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
So there's so many parts of this that I would like to enter into. But first off, tell me how it was when you were parenting. And, you know, your focus, of course, was your children. How did you nurture friendships at that time?
So when I was married and I, you know, my children, you know, I found a commonality with the parents. Like, first example, you know, our children are in the same classroom, right? Or our children were friends. So then the moms became friends because now the children are like, Mom, I want to go to her house. I want to spend the night. They're having a birthday party, whatever. And so then all of a sudden, you know, it felt like there was a commonality with the mother or with the family. Then now all of a sudden we become friends. Or if you're a neighbor, you know, we lived in a neighborhood where there were a lot of children on the cul-de-sac. So, you know, your neighbor across the street, you know, will come over or vice versa. And so that's how I was able to nurture friendships or to be honest with you, not all of them were really friendships because it was like, if we didn't have our children, would we really be friends, right? If we didn't have our children, would we really even talk to each other? But they were our children's friendships at the time. So as a mother, that's how I cultivated the women, the associations that I had when I was a parent or, you know, even at church, right? Like I said, in the neighborhood, at church. And then some of those parents, some of those associations ended up being lifelong. They ended up being, you know, where you're still friends to this day. The kids are still friends. You're still friends. Everybody is still friends. So, yeah, that's how I was able to do that when my children were at home and when they were younger.
Okay, so during that time, did you also have maybe like grade school friends, college friends? And if so, did you see yourself being able to nurture those friendships?
Not necessarily. What my college friends were, I lived in a different state than the state that I went to college. So my college friendships were different, or the way I, how I interacted with them. It was like, okay, if I come to Houston, we'd get together. Right. If they came to California, we would get together. So that was pretty much how that went, because, You know, again, I was so focused on my children, my husband, you know, making sure that my family was intact. I really didn't have a lot of time, unfortunately, for my college friendships when I was married and when my children were at home. So I did not really nurture those friendships. You know, we kept in touch. I might have spoke once a year, sent Christmas cards, you know, said, hey, girl, before Facebook came out, girl, here's a picture of the baby. You know, he's two now or whatever. But I didn't really, like, have a tight relationship because we were in different states.
Okay. So as the children began to mature and become more independent, did you see or even think about, wow, I need to really start to focus on what it really feels like to maybe start to go out and nurture friendships? And if so, if you felt that way, how did you begin to start communication, whether it was with a friend from the past or, you know, however you your social group was at that time?
You know, just inviting them out to dinner, being like, hey, girl, come through, or I'm going to cook, or, you know, you and your husband come over. Let's have a date night. You know, when I was married, let's have a date night. Let's meet up for dinner, you and your husband. And so, you know, I had a lot of friendships that way as well when I was married, because, you know, their husband and my husband were friends. Her and I were friends, so we would get together and have date nights. We would go out of town together. We would go on, you know, do little fun stuff together, even if those couples didn't have children. And then, you know, just, you know, hey, girl, let's go have a ladies' night. We would go drive to L.A. to get our hair done together. We would go shopping together. So being able to just open myself up to have some time to myself as a mother and a wife, to say, you know what, I also need some friendships outside of that. So this is what I need to do. So I opened myself up and extended myself to do that.
Okay, well, that's a great point. Let's segue into life after divorce, okay? Because but if we could share this, what generally happens, yeah, as you said, you had that friendship group, right? You guys were couple friends, and I've seen this happen one too many times, you know. As an adopted friend myself, you know, sometimes the couple actually wants you to choose which side you're going to continue the friendship with. And it's a lot of pressure. So once that happened, did you lose friends after divorce?
I sure did. Yes, ma'am. I lost a lot of friends after divorce, pretty much a lot of them, because, you know, the man was still friends with him and he was bringing his new girl around. So I'm not going to hang out and go over there. And then, you know, it just, I don't know what it was. They just was never, I don't know. Sometimes I think people don't know what to say to a friend who's been through a divorce. They don't know how to comfort that person. Or maybe, and sometimes, to be honest, I felt like I had the scarlet letter on my head and they didn't want to associate themselves with me. Like, oh my goodness, Miranda's gone through a divorce. So I don't want to connect to her because it might rub off on me. I honestly felt like that, like, because it seemed like they felt like I was, even though we ministered to them during their hard times when I was married, we ministered to them and their husband. But now that I'm going through some troubling times, it was like, oh my goodness, I don't want to connect with her, right? And so it was heartbreaking, right? Because I lost a lot of friends. I had to make new friends. I had to gain new associations, right? And so it was very troubling. It was heartbreaking. It was hurtful. You know, I just continued to move forward and do what I needed to do, but that's how it went at that particular time. So I just had to grow through it and understand that that's what it was. And maybe I did take it personal at first, but then I realized maybe they just didn't know what to say.
Mm-hmm. Now, around the age, late 30s to early 40s, as you stated that you have actually gone through a divorce, and rather if it's divorce, your kids, that part of life is when you really start to, you know, life becomes, I don't want to say difficult, but we have our challenges, right? So when you have those challenges, how do you, because I think a lot of times people have their own stuff and going into a relationship, maybe with a girlfriend, have you ever been, let's just say, burned by a friendship in that time frame?
Yeah, of course, because it's like they want to, what can I gain from this, or what can you offer me, instead of let's come together and just be friends and have be a support. But it's like, what can you offer me? What can you do for me? And or how can you benefit my life? And if you can't bring nothing to my life, then I don't need to be associated with you. Or now that you're not driving the Mercedes anymore, or now that you don't have this glamorous life that you had before, I don't know if I want to be associated with you. So now I'm not going to really deal with you, or whatever the case may be. Or again, I want to choose his side. You know, I see he's moving on, he's doing big things or whatever. So I want to hang out with him. I want to connect with him. I want to be a part of his circle. And so I dealt with those types of people, unfortunately. And it's like, were they really real friends in the first place, right? And so that kind of allowed me to put my guard up, right? And set boundaries like, wow, you know what, do I really want new friends, you know, in this time? So I focused on my children. I focused on making sure my daughter graduated from high school without becoming pregnant, right? I made sure my son was good. I made sure my all emotionally intact, because I was pretty much in survival mode at that time, because I was going through an emotional roller coaster, but I wanted to make sure my children were okay. So I focused more on them than myself. I didn't really worry about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to have friends, but if it didn't happen, I was like, okay. And then when I did try to reach out to people, it wasn't a good fit, I guess.
Now, I have a question, only because I'm the girlfriend on the other side. You know, I don't have any children, but I have, you know, a lot of friends that were really in your position where, you know, they had the family. I have a husband, but I didn't, you know, the family, of course, that's your nucleus. That's where you spend the most of your energy and time. But, you know, me on the outside looking in, I used to always look at my friends and they would seem so burnt out. Like they never really took time for themselves. You know, maybe not off, but maybe once a quarter, going to the spa or just have, because you need that breakaway sometimes just to be with adults like yourself, right? So, and because I wasn't going through that same journey, I was able to observe the journey. And so I want to ask this question in fairness. Do you regret not having that balance, or maybe not nurturing some of the relationships that you could have had, even if you couldn't, you know, necessarily give them a lot of your energy? How would it have felt, you know, now fast forward to you was explaining to me you don't have a big friend group. How would it have felt if you kind of tried to balance friendship, family, husband, all those things?
To be honest with you, I don't regret it, because my focus was my children, and they still are, you know, that's, to be honest, family was always number one for me. I felt like a friendship was an added bonus or added benefit or added blessing, right? I didn't really feel like I needed to have, because and maybe that was my error, because my husband was my friend. You know what I'm saying? My children were there, you know, we lived, because I didn't have any family members of my own in the state where I was living. I focused so much on my children. And then, like I said, I was always being burned by different women coming into my life as far as how they treated me, or they're flirting with my husband, or they're being disrespectful, or they're just being, you know, users or whatever. I just really never cared. I cared, but I was like, I kind of suppressed it. I suppressed it because I was like, I don't want to get hurt again. I'm tired of it. I don't want to get hurt anymore. I don't want to seem desperate. So let me just focus on my kids. Let me just focus on.
Well, could you elaborate on some of the hurt that you received? Like when you say you were hurt by friends, what type of experiences did you have?
Just like the rejection, you know, like just, you know, you know, going above and beyond for somebody and they're not reciprocating that same, you know, energy, that same friendship, that same kindness. You know, being talked about behind your back, or, you know, like I said, you know, being envious of, I guess, of your lifestyle. You know, you want to be successful, right? You want to have certain things, right? And so why not live your life? And then some people don't really appreciate that. Some people don't want to deal with it. Some people don't like it or whatever, or don't want to celebrate you, for example. And so, mm-hmm. You know, the jealousy, the non-genuineness, like I said, if you can't do nothing for me, why are you here in my life, or why are you around? So it was just unfortunate just a different heartache, the pain, like I said, the backstabbing, talking about me behind my back, or, you know, and just different things like that. So I just didn't really want to open myself up to that. I was just focusing on my children.
Okay, so moving into the realm of 40, a lot of women, you know, at this point have a lot of trauma. Whether trauma is from childhood, other friendships that you just discussed, marriages failing. It's just a lot of things at that point that have really taken its toll on a person mentally, sometimes physically, spiritually. So as a person who have sought counsel and have an understanding of where you are today, how do you deal with I'm not even calling her a friend, but a female companion that you're interested in being friends with, but you can also see, you can discern that level of baggage. How do you enter into, you know, a conversation even? Because we all have it, and you know, the rejection and all those things that you were talking about, that's sometimes why it comes. It's not necessarily because of you, it's because of what they've experienced in the past.
What they've experienced, right. I think sometimes I've taken my chances, right? I mean, I've just, you know, would reach out to somebody and say, hey, you know, would you like to have dinner after church? Or I would like to connect with you. Let's, you know, connect on this level. Or, you know, I would like to talk to you about this or something like that, getting their expertise about something. So just taking the chance, because, you know, you can't, heartbreak is inevitable. I mean, you're not going to, you can't avoid it. It's going to happen again on some level, whether it's a, you know, on some, your children are going to hurt your feelings, a friend or associate or coworker. So it's going to be inevitable, but I think it's the point of how you handle it and how mature you are at this point. I think I've grown a lot to I'm able to step out and take a chance. And, you know, sometimes I'm not. I think I talked to you about this before, about with you and I, you know, I was kind of leery, like, you know, should I reach out to her? She's going to be responsive. Or, you know, does she really want new friends? Or is she going to reject me and be like, oh, I'm not interested? But then when you reached out to me, it was like, okay, that showed the level of maturity that you had. And, you know, we took it from there. But I think a lot of times just dealing with that rejection stops people from reaching out. And just maybe not wanting to be bothered. Like, you know, I don't want to be bothered with this right now. I don't really want to deal with this. I don't really want to risk it or take the chance or even put myself out there like that.
Well, one of the things that I talked about when you and I were even speaking, that I remember you told me that you felt that a little bit put off by my personality, like I wasn't interested in being friends. And I was actually really shocked. I was like, really? And I wanted to hear your explanation of what exactly did I say or do, or what energy did I bring to you that made you feel that way? Because I asked you, do you think it was about me? Or really, was it about yourself? Because, you know, I'm like, I'm just, you know, I'm a happy-go-lucky person. Like, you know, I welcome people. I mean, you may not have a connection to everybody, but, you know, I will at least put the energy towards each other to see what commonalities we have. So when I said that to you, was it, how did you feel about when I said, oh, wait a minute, they'll check, I want you to check me. What was you really feeling about me that you felt like, oh, this lady is not interested in being talking to me or whatever? Or was it really even about you?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think, like, when I would reach out to you or send a text message, your response was kind of short. And I realized over time that you're not really a text messenger, kind of. Even now when we text message, you're still kind of similar, but I don't take it personal. I think before I was taking it personal, right? Like, I was like, well, because, you know, I'm a text messenger. I'm going to be like, hey, girl, da-da-da-da-da, you know, hey. And then some people respond, okay. It's like, okay, well, maybe she, you know, maybe that response is like, I don't want to be bothered, so okay, girl, whatever. So I took it personal, like, maybe she doesn't want to be bothered. So I think just understanding someone's communication style and understanding, you know, that maybe they were busy or maybe they were in the middle of something or whatever. And so I really didn't pursue it too much. I was just like, well, maybe she's busy or maybe she's on another level. Because a lot of times what I've been finding out, especially moving out here to Texas, and, you know, the women here are just amazing. Like, they're go-getters, you know, they're making moves, they're owning businesses, they're just doing so many things in social media, they're creatives and stuff like that. where sometimes they don't want to befriend someone who's not on their level, right? They don't want to befriend somebody who's not up here on that upper echelon. So I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm not on their level. You know, maybe, because I thought that about you too. I was like, well, maybe I'm just not on her level, because you seem a little classy, right? Like, she seems like she's a little up there.
I'm classy, girl. I'm classy.
I know you are. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, you know, maybe she ain't trying to deal with somebody who ain't that classy yet. So maybe she's like, well, she ain't on my level. So again, you know, that, you know, taking into account the spirit of rejection, taking into account that you may not want to be make new friends or somebody that's not on the level that you're on, as far as your career, your success, the money that you bring in. So it's like, oh, okay, well, she ain't on my level, so I'm not trying to connect with her. So I need millionaire friends. I need this. You know, this is just my mindset, because I feel like that's the type of women that I've encountered since I've been here, the type of women that I've interacted with since I've been here. If you're not on my level, or if you're not already my friend, I'm not trying to make new friends. I'm not trying to have an extended conversation with you. I'm not trying to have a long, drawn-out phone conversation with you. I don't want to talk to you on the phone. If I can't deal with you on a business level, or we can't handle this business, that let's just end it at that, right? And so, but again, I think that's also takes into account my personal experiences in the past. I think it also takes into account the hurt that I've had in the past from women and different things. So I think it all plays a part in that. And so it's like, am I willing to make an effort? Am I willing to be rejected again? All of those things come into play, right? So.
And one of the things that I mentioned to you is when you said that about being friends with me and the feeling that you received, I said, well, you know, I had no idea that you were even interested in being my friend. And your response was, well, I didn't know how to say it. And I said, when I reached out to you and I said, hey, it seems like we have some similar things in common, would you like to talk about that? And you said that made you feel like it was an open door. That's why I said, was it truly about what energy I was given? But you said it was a little bit of both. So in fairness, I'll give you, it was a little bit of both. But I was like, it was not me.
But I think too, like you said you reached out to me. I think we have this in common, right? Instead of saying, hey girl, I want to be friends, let's, you know, whatever, you know, let's do a Zoom lunch or whatever, right? Because you live in DC, I live in Texas. So like, for example, if there's someone that lives out here with me, for example, I might say, hey girl, let's have lunch. And they might be like, you know, I'm busy, or no, I don't really want, or you may not get a response, or you may not get a follow through, or they may not answer your message again or whatever. So then I immediately feel like, okay, they don't want to be bothered, because I'm like friendly. I want to hang out. I want to get to know people or whatever. I'm new here. So it's like, okay, well, I mean, hey girl, let's have lunch. And then if they don't respond, or it's kind of like, well, you know, it's always I'm busy or whatever, then it's like, okay, I'm not going to continue to push this. But I think, again, even with you, I can still say, you know, you said, hey, we have this in common. Were you just wanting to work on a business level, or are you trying to really be friends, or let's just keep this business and keep pushing, because you said, I have this in common. You know what I'm saying? So I could have looked at it that way as well.
Person, it either genuinely is going to happen or genuinely is not going to happen, right?
Right.
And as you become, you know, and now we must say we met via I was having a photo shoot in Baltimore, and the young lady was like, oh, you should meet my friend. She has this platform, and she asked me to be on your platform. So that's how the connection started. So in my mind, I really did take it as, this is just business. So I wasn't even thinking this is someone who was interested in any type of relationship past that interview. Now, you said that you had moved from Las Vegas to Dallas. Let's talk about, you know, one of the things that I found is when you are older, over 40 especially, and you move to a different city, you know, penetrating, I'm going to call them the local girl friendships, because the local girls have been friends from elementary, high school. You know, they went away from some went away from college, didn't go away. And they have that strong friend group. And now here you come in like, hey, how you doing? You may have a different, your dialect may be different. You may dress a little bit different. You're cute though, but you're offering something a little bit different than what they're accustomed to. how have you gone about trying to penetrate the local girl friendship groups? You give your answer, and I'm going to give my answer about the DC area.
Okay. I haven't really been able to penetrate the girlfriend group in Texas, to be honest with you. I've gone on like a retreat with some women that know each other from church. We went to a conference in Louisiana, and I wasn't able to penetrate their group, to be honest with you. It was very clicky. It was very, we were cordial, but it wasn't that welcoming, right? Then I think a lot of times, especially with church groups, I think a lot of times, I don't know if it's a lot of judgment there or a lot of hurt there or whatever, because even like if you deal with that person one-on-one, it's just a different vibe. So I haven't really been able to penetrate the girlfriend groups here in the Texas area. And so I just pretty much am a loner at this point. I stick to myself. I stay busy with social media, and those are my brands and things I need to do, visiting with my children. You know, other than that, I've tried a couple of times, and I've just, you know.
You gave up and gave in? I'm just kidding.
I did.
I'll say this. Moving to the DC area, it was something that I always wanted to do. When I was in college, I remember coming here and everyone seemed so professional, so on top of their game. You know, men were wearing suits, going to work every day. I'm just like, oh yes, Black power, right, baby. And yeah. So the opportunity came for me to move here. By that time I was married. So my objective when I moved to the area, I wanted to penetrate. Mine wasn't through church. Mine was more so through nonprofit organizations. We did a lot of black tie events. It's not NAACP, it's the other one. I can't think of the
Urban League.
I was involved with Urban League. And I just have to briefly tell you this story about black women. You know how you also go to the hair salon to go, you meet girls at the hair salon. So I was all gung-ho. And during this time, it was Deborah Lee was the president of BET. And I was new to the area. So I'm sitting at under the dryer, and I see this S-Class Mercedes pull up. I was like, okay, cute, whatever. And this gentleman gets out, suited and booted. He gets out. He walks around the car. He opens the car door. And I see this lady get out. I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, oh. Okay. Now, at the time, I didn't know this was her driver. Like, I didn't know. When he came into the salon, she sat down. He set her up with a table. He put her lunch in front of her. He got her briefcase, her computer. I had never in my life seen a woman served on this level professionally. You know what I'm saying? Like, she didn't touch anything. So I'm like, really? This is it. DC, I'm impressed, right? Yes. So as time goes on and I'm meeting more people, of course, at the hair salon, trying to, warm myself up, get, we talk about different topics and stuff like that. I will never forget that. I love her to this day, but she started asking me all these questions, like, where are you from? What college did you go to? What sorority are you in? So all these different questions. And so I was like, okay. She was like, you didn't go to HBCU? No. You're not in a sorority? No. You don't go this? You don't do this? What are you, summer? All these different questions. And at the end of the conversation, she said, girl, we need to blackify you. I almost fell on the floor. So I was like, oh, wow. This here is a lot. Like, now I really can't get in, the links. Do I need to join the circle? What do I need to do? Become AKA? Like, what do I need to do to join the circle? So, that was my first, experience saying that, dang, maybe I don't even qualify, according to what this person said to me. And, moving forward, I started to begin to meet people, at these different events, but the relationship never really penetrated beyond the surface. Now, we did have a couple of people we went skiing with, so on and so forth. But it wasn't like I was talking to them on the phone. We were meeting for lunch. It was all surrounding events. And so I very soon caught on to the DC lifestyle. And the DC lifestyle, when you meet someone here, one of the first things they're going to ask you, so what do you do? Where do you work? What college did you go to? So it's not necessarily like, I would like to get to know you. It's like, okay, so let me pre-qualify you. Let me get your resume first to see if you would even qualify to even be in my friend group. So, you know, and so I had started a business here. And I don't know why, but all of a sudden, I didn't know any other Andreas at home where I was from in Atlanta. But I met like four or five Andreas, all different personalities, but all of us, our names were Andrea. And I was invited to her house, one of them. And I thought, okay, you know, I'm starting to penetrate the group. She invited me to her house for a little women's. So I go over to the women's and I'm new. This lady comes up to me and she was like, you know, I really like how you introduced yourself. I like your personality. I like how you spoke about your business. Could I have your business card? And we'll talk later. So I'm like, sure, no problem. Girl, as I was getting ready to leave out of that house, the lady of the house, the Andrea of the house, she came up to me and she said, how dare you? I said, well, what did I do? She said, how dare you? You try to take my client away from me. The lady came up to me and asked for my information, but then I started to see how guarded people are about business, how guarded people are, you know, about resumes and how you have to prove yourself much. So I know that was a long, drawn out answer
That was interesting. Wow.
But, you know, I'll say, I mean, I haven't really gotten a very close friendship group here, mainly because in your 40s, I found, you know, having children really is an asset to getting into friendship groups at this age. Right. And because I didn't, I found that I had to become friends with people a little bit younger than me because they had the freedom to go out, you know, at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock or whatever. They had more flexible schedules. They didn't have to worry about a babysitter. So my friend group became, I'm gonna be honest, like 10 years younger than me, which I'm fine with that because I'm a cute girl and I keep it tight and right.
Okay. Yes.
So I wanted to ask you, as you're 40, and you know, we didn't grow up with social media. How has it been? You know, some people really, there are actually apps out there for people to become friends. Like, I think Bumble has an app. There are different apps that you can go to, like dating apps. They have friendship apps. How did you navigate social media, not necessarily growing up with it, but actually starting to become and network through social media? Was that a difficult thing for you? How did you navigate it?
I mean, I started off with Facebook. You know, that's the old people's thing they say. That's what the young people be telling my kids, be like, Mom, that's for old people. So I started off with Facebook and, you know, just built from there. And then, like I said, going on to, like you said, you know, at the time, Periscope, doing different things like that. You know, I just started since the pandemic going on social media as far as going live and doing things like what we're doing right now. I've come out of my shell as far as that is concerned. I've been starting to get comfortable public speaking when I became a counselor because I had to do presentations all the time, right? I had to kind of really get out of my shyness or my introvert personality because I believe I am an introvert. You know, if I walk in a crowded room of 50 women, I'm going to sit at a table that looks safe. Like, oh, they look like they'll let me sit with them. I may not really say too much to them, but I'll sit with them and absorb whatever presentation is there and I'll leave and go home. I'm okay with not really meeting or getting to know any of the women in the room at the time if that's the way it has to be. So that's how it's been for me as far as, you know, navigating social media. I've really gotten comfortable in the past year being on social media, be having a platform, trying to build a brand, trying to get out of my comfort zone. And the counseling actually has helped me do that because I'm always doing presentations. I'm talking to my students all the time. I'm, you know, having to do parent presentation and organizations and different things like that. So that has really helped me to get out of my comfort zone as far as being on social media. But as far as, you know, social media, as far as meeting people, I've met people because I've reached out to people such as yourself because of the platform. And I've met women in that way. And not necessarily you know, developing friendships, but just meeting women and understanding their lives and understanding what they've gone through. And just being able to hear their story, like I said, with her story, it's just been a blessing because I've been able to learn about different women's experiences, like just what you're talking about right now, to be able to help me to grow and to understand my own experience and not to take everything so personal and not to really worry about it. You know, like you said, if it happens organically, then I'm okay with that. You know, I'm willing to step back and allow a friendship to happen organically and to understand that if it's meant to be, it's going to happen, it's going to work out, and not to force things. I think I've had to learn that in this season. Not to force situations, not to force friendships, not to force connections. But if they're going to happen, they're going to happen naturally. And if it's meant to be, it will happen. And whatever friends God has for me in the Texas area, God's going to connect me with those women. And, you know, hopefully those will be some mature, grown woman, long-lasting, older friendships. Because I do realize now that we're having this conversation that a lot of my friendship did come through because of my children. Like, for example, I think if my 16-year-old was still in my, you know, was living with me instead of in California with his dad, I would probably have other women in my life because of the connections. Because, you know, mom, can I go to Johnny's house? Okay, let me drop you off at Johnny's now, meeting Johnny's mom. So now we're having coffee or hanging out with her for a little while. So I think, to be honest with you, when I look back on it, a lot of those friends happened because of my children, not because I stepped out, I guess, and made friendships on my own. When I actually am having this conversation, I'm like, oh, wow, do I even really know how to make friends? Because I made friends through my children and their parents. So now that I didn't have my children, maybe that's why I don't have really a lot of friends, because I don't really step out and put myself out there like that in order to do that. And so I guess when I make a little effort, if it's not reciprocated, it's like, oh, she doesn't look at your friend, you know. So now that I'm actually having this conversation with you, It's really eye-opening to be able to understand friendship, close to this clubhouse. But yeah, just being able to understand that, you know, it's really an eye-opener right now. Maybe just putting myself out there and just trying to figure out how to put myself out there now that I'm 40 and I don't have a child to kind of like undergird me or to like be the catalyst for me making friends, right? So,
you know, one of the things that I talk about when I'm in sessions with people and we're talking about friendships, if they're having difficulties finding friends, is a lot of people tend to go to what they know. I've heard you mention church a lot. You go to church and the friendship area at church. However, you also say that one of the things that you would like to do is travel. You know, you said, you know, I really want to travel. So if you had to stretch yourself out of your norm, and of course, if it wasn't COVID and things like that, what are some of the things that you would be willing to do to be around like-minded women? You know, whether it's travel groups or things like that. Have you ever thought about, you know, going outside of the box? The things that you may have always wanted to do, and it could be people who are also seeking friendships, but you have to, you know, put yourself out there. Are there any things that you can think of that you've been wanting to do, but just kind of thought, oh, I don't want to do it by myself?
I've never thought so. Just like, for example, with the dating situation, right? You know, you're doing these dating sites and you mentioned some friendship sites. I didn't even know that existed. So I don't know. I've actually, to be honest with you, now that I'm thinking about it, I've joined like different, you know, Black Girls Run, right? I've joined different organizations like that to try to network. I just recently joined this Delta network as a graduate Delta group to gain networks with different women, with different people. So I have put myself out there in those kind of areas to join like different networks, like, you know, exercise groups or cooking groups or professional organization networking groups in order to meet different people. So I have done those types of things. I haven't joined an app yet per se, but I have thank you so much, Dee, for joining us. She's signing off right now. Thank you for being a part of this conversation, and we appreciate you being on here. So thank you. Have a great evening. Thank you, LaTanya, for being on here. We really appreciate you guys. But as far as the networking, I haven't done a lot of that. Just not feeling comfortable, I guess. I don't know. Just I need to just put myself out there, I guess, and just take chances and take risks, I guess. I'm not a risk taker. I'm not the type of person to put myself out there. To be honest with you, I'm good being at home reading a book or watching a movie. I'm good cooking, you know, baking. I like to bake. I like to, I'm a little crafty every now and then. I enjoy making flyers and doing crafty things, being creative. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes I just stay in my comfort zone. I haven't been able to or willing to step out of my comfort zone. I just figure I'm safer here in my bubble.
Safety,
okay. Security, not being, again, not getting my feelings hurt. I'd rather just stay here at home and just do my own thing than to put myself out there and step out like that. So.
One of the things I wanted to touch on, and I promised myself that I was not going to be this girl, but while we're on the subject, there are a lot of current TV shows that deal with friendship and the breakdown of friendship, how things can go wrong. And I'm not sure of any of the TV shows that you've actually seen. However, there was this one episode I remember of Housewives of Atlanta. It was Cynthia Bailey who came up with the idea of like a friendship contract. There has been, I'm hearing feedback.
Is that better?
Yeah. There's also been, most recently, there was an episode of Marriage Medicine where there was Dr. Jackie and Dr. Simone who had this long 20-year relationship where they've, you know, honored each other. I think Dr. Jackie had even delivered Dr. Simone's baby. And so they had a very, very loving and tight relationship. And, you know, I hate to say that coming on those type of TV shows sometimes can be the demise of something so strong. But are you familiar with any of these shows before I ask the question?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So in the current example of Dr. Jackie and Dr. Simone, I found it very interesting that Dr. Simone really felt betrayed by Dr. Jackie because of the length of their friendship and feeling that Dr. Jackie, no matter what, if someone did something to hurt her feelings or to hurt her, she expected Dr. Jackie to take her side, no matter what. And she based this on a 20-year friendship. And, you know, my question to you is, when you think about friendship and longevity, would you put that much pressure on someone? And it's interesting because these women are, I think, in their 50s, I would assume, close to 50, if not 50. Putting that much pressure on an individual because they won't take your side. What's your feeling about a situation like that? Someone you've loved for so long, you guys have shared so much, and, you know, because another female came into the circle, now it's almost like, you know, you got to divide and conquer. We have to come together and you have to be on my side. So what's your feeling about that friendship over 40?
I mean, I think if I'm wrong, or, you know, I think everybody has their own opinion. I mean, I understand where she's coming from, but that doesn't mean that it's right. Because if you're wrong and she's not taking your side or she doesn't see your side, I think we need to be mature enough to be like, you know what? Well, she doesn't agree with me. We're going to agree to disagree. Right. And we have that type of friendship, and I'm mature enough to understand that Dr. Jackie has her own opinion. She doesn't have to think everything I think. She doesn't have to believe everything. I think a lot of times, especially in that situation, it sounds like a little jealousy. Like, how can you take this girl's side over mine? You know, me and you, yes, we've been friends for 20 years, but so that means you need to take my side. So now I'm upset that you're taking her side, right? But me and you have been friends for 20 years. I think that's a little immaturity and jealousy. So I don't agree with it. I mean, I can understand why she feels that way because of the length of the friendship, right? Just like if we're sisters, it's like, well, girl, you know, blood is thicker than water. Even though I'm wrong, you're supposed to have my back. And it's not necessarily, oh, I'm supposed to have your back when you're wrong. But it's like, oh, we're sisters. So I think it's kind of like that. You know, I look at you as a sister. You know, I look at you, so you're supposed to have my back, but that doesn't mean it's right. So I don't agree with it.
You know, I found it very interesting because it reminded me of, you know, it was very elementary. I have to at least say it seemed very elementary. And it, you know, because we're on the outside of the circle, it was always very interesting to look at how it looks on the inside of the circle, because someone may be welcoming to you, say, oh, she's cool, she's a nice person. And another female could be like, I don't like her, I don't want her around for whatever reason, you know. And it might be, like you said, the jealousy. They may have more in common. They're giggling a little bit more than we giggle together. And you know, when that starts, and I see that you're calling her up to go to lunch with her twice a week when we used to go once a week, but now you're going twice a week with her, and that jealousy does start to simmer and unfortunately take over relationships. What was your opinion about being over 40 and being burned and, you know, Cynthia Bailey coming up with this thing called the friendship contract? I mean, I felt like that was something very, very interesting, because I felt like it came from a place of trauma. Like, she had also been hurt so much in the past. It's like, you know, if I put my heart on the line to be friends with you, you know, we're gonna ride or die for each other. Like, no matter what, we're it's almost like we're getting married. Like, this is it. We are gonna be down like four flat tires. Unfortunately, it didn't work. But what's your opinion about being that open, honest, and candid with someone coming into your life?
I mean, I think it was, like you said, it was coming from a place of hurt, a place of trauma, a place of brokenness from her part, because she wanted to try to secure a friendship. But I think a lot of times, especially with the person that she was trying to secure it with, and I think she did that to her because she knew the type of the personality that Nene had. Nene had this kind of rebellious personality, like, I can come or go. And so she figured, if I do this to her, I'm going to trap her down, I'm going to secure her down, I'm going to lock it down. And it's backfired in her face. I think, again, that came from a place of insecurity and brokenness and trauma. And I think we shouldn't have those expectations on people. Just like we shouldn't expect for our husband to make us happy and to be our everything. We should be secure in who we are before we come into the marriage and be whole when we come into a marriage. I think that's the same thing with the friendship. We need to be whole coming into the friendship and understand that if it does not work out, yes, I'm going to be hurt, but I know how to bounce back and I'll be okay. And when God, you know, and then also be prayerful about our relationships and our friendships, right? Being prayerful about the people that we decide to connect with and the people that comes into our lives, whether it's through business or church or through our children or whoever. I think we need to be mindful about that and just be very careful and not so needy, I guess, or so desperate to have a friend that we put those types of things in place, because it actually, you know, gives that person credence for them to think, oh, she's needy, she's desperate, oh, I can treat her any kind of way. Just like how you mentioned, we talked offline, how you were saying men can smell insecurity a mile away, you know. So now I can kind of like, oh, I know she needs me as a friend, so I'm gonna kind of treat her sideways, any, you know, when I feel like it, because she really needs me or wants me as a friend. I can kind of treat her haphazardly. I can treat her sometimes. I can treat her any kind of way without any real regard or love, because she really needs me or desires me in her life. So I can just treat her however. So I think that's unfortunately how Nene did her. Like, oh, because you know how sometimes when people are like, oh, she needs my recommendation to get that job, or she needs this. So I'm going to hold it over her head like a little carrot or whatever. So I think that's kind of what happened. It was unfortunate. But yeah. What did you think about it?
I want to ditto pretty much everything that you said. I think Nene saw insecurities in her. Nene always had the HBIC type of personality. Cynthia had the look. Cynthia can go through the door. Cynthia can get in without paying. But she knew by latching on to that, I can earn something from you. And I think for Nene, she needed someone who was going to uphold all her craziness, because she would always kind of speak out of pocket. But right. Cynthia was there to, you know, Nene didn't mean it like that. I don't think she mean it like that. You know, she uphold all the in a sweet way. And, right. You know, I think now that the show has shown what it's shown, Nene's no longer on the show. Cynthia is still there. And I think genuinely at that time when she first came on the show, I really think she was coming from a very genuine place. I think she really, really wanted to be her friend, because I even found it interesting in most recent episodes, she was married. And I said, wow, you know, you're getting married, but it seemed like all your bridesmaids are TV people. Like, where are your real friends?
Right.
So, you know, I question, like, you know, do these people actually have real friends, or maybe they have to show it for TV, you know? And so when we about to wrap this up, but when you think about friendship and having that previous pain, of any of your friendships, do you think, if you could think of a situation that happened with a friend, would you have been open to having someone like a friendship coach or a mediator there to be able to not to hear your side, to hear the other person's side, and either salvage the relationship or either allowing the relationship to end in a way that you're not bitter, you're not hurt, both sides could be heard, and you could go on in the world and never have this place of hurt and emptiness? Because we've talked about that, how many times we've had friendships and it just ended, but there was no closure. Would that be, is there a time that you wish you could have had someone like that to help you navigate the friendship?
Sure. I mean, I think I mentioned to you before my friendship with a friend I'd been knowing. I thought we were friends from ninth grade. And then once I moved here to Houston and I stayed with her for a couple of months, once I got myself together, seemed like everything kind of fell apart. And I honestly, I still don't understand why. And I think I mentioned to you before, I really am not in a place where I really care at this point. But if I had the opportunity, I would have probably reached out to someone like yourself or a counselor or a coach and said, if she was willing to do so and say, hey, what happened? Did I say something? Did I do something? But I didn't really want to at the time, because again, I'm focusing on my well-being. I didn't want to put myself in a vulnerable place like that to really even go through that. And maybe it could have been a learning experience for myself. Maybe I did do something and didn't realize that I'm not perfect. So I don't know. I could have done something to hurt her feelings or to disrespect her, and she just never said anything. I didn't realize I did that. So it could have been a learning opportunity for myself to grow as I, you know, navigate the waters of friendships over 40 in order to be able to, you know, have better friendships going down the line.
Yeah, that was a great point, because one of the things I, you know, Dr. Jackie, I just wanted to, because we were just talking about them, used to have that thing called lemon squeeze is what she called it, where they would go around the table and they would be able, you know, to talk and get things out. And I think sometimes, even in friendship, depending on how you value that friend, if this is someone that you really want in your life, you trust them, and you know, you've seen loyalty, but you also have started to see little hiccups, it's really good to be able to have those hiccups, those tune-ups, as I call them, you know, to say, you know, maybe we should sit down. Is there anything that you want to do? Have I hurt your feelings? Do you want to air anything out? Because I'm in a space right now, this is a safe space right now, that you can actually tell me what it is that you're feeling, because I don't want to ever make you feel uncomfortable. And so in order for me to adjust anything in my personality, I first have to know what it is that, you know, maybe I'm not communicating well, maybe my communication is lifestyle, did I use a word that you're not accustomed to, that it could have triggered you in some way. So, you know, regardless if you come to a friendship coach, if you come to, you know, sit down with another friend, I think it's very, very important. Like, we spend time on our relationships with our spouses, our boyfriends, so on and so, partners, so on and so forth. You know, checking in with our friends sometimes, you know, and to, so it won't get to the point of failure is very important.
Right. I do too. I think that's really important. And I think it's just something that we need to make an effort to do. And like I said, sometimes because we're so busy with life, we don't make that effort. And I know that's something that I need to work on. So,
yeah, because friendships take time and it has to be worth it to you. At the end of the day, it has to be something that you find to be worth it. So I want to say thank you so much for talking and chatting with me about friendship, because I know it's a topic that we all have to deal with at some point in our life. You know, you don't go through life alone, you know, regardless of how you, what level of friendship you have associated or whatever. If you are lucky enough in a lifetime to have one good friend, and I mean a really good friend, someone that you can rely on, you are a very, very lucky person. And most of us go through life and we don't even know what that feels like, you know, because there's so many broken pieces. So, you know, my agenda is to allow people to know that friendships are valuable, friendships are needed. And in order to maintain and keep those friendships is to, you know, perhaps have someone like me to talk to, even if it's not talking to you together, just being able to vent and getting your side out. So I just want to thank you all for joining. And Miranda, did you have any closing words that you would like to say?
Well, I just want to say thank you all again for joining us. This was a great conversation, a very much needed conversation. I think it was kind of, it was therapeutic for myself just to kind of understand where some of my genuine and real friendships came from. And thank you, Andrea, for having me on your platform. This was a blessing. I had a great time. And I hope that those who have heard this receive something out of it. You learned a little bit more about yourself and can reach out to the girlfriend coach here, the friendship coach, and get some counseling if you need some to, you know, to repair your friendship. So this was great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right. Well, we will see you guys at our next session. We got to schedule it for our next time.
Yes, we will. And it's coming up soon. Thank you all for joining us. This was fun. It's your girlfriend next door and your friendship coach.